Imagine.
Imagine. Imagine all the people.
All the people.
Yeah. It's a great song.
I couldn't sing it, though. You could sing it.
Yeah, it's John Lennon.
Happy Death Day? Oh, that's... Wait, what?
What?
Throwback.
Oh, is that what it is?
Of course.
Today was the day
that you thought was the day that you died.
Oh,
GGs.
God.
You should be thankful that you didn't know today was the day you die.
Hello, so everyone. Are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
Hello, everyone. It's Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything, back with another episode of Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Crazy 8s. Normally, we would play the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Intro song. Unfortunately, I spent about 10 minutes trying to get it to work. And something weird happened at one point where it was like following my mouse movements, but
yeah,
it wasn't
really interesting. Scary. I'm not sure what was happening.
When that happened, we took it as a sign to say, well, we're not playing the opening, unfortunately, for this episode. But we are here, we are back, and we are ready to talk about 130, all the fallout from the duel between Zion and Asana. Joined by some great people. Nick T, how you doing today?
Fantastic.
Why'd he skip me?
I skipped you because he dropped the cookie on his phone and I felt bad.
It's okay.
And we made intimate eye contact
as he dropped.
Yeah. So you didn't give him time to react. You attacked him as he basically.
I wanted to help him take his mind off of him dropping the cookie.
But he's on his phone. He can still eat it.
I still am gonna eat it.
Yeah, no,
it was embarrassing. So thank you.
You're welcome. So you're welcome. Dredge, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good, man. Good. Pete should be joining us in a little bit as well. Calibro, of course, in Japan.
Yes.
So no Calibro tonight. No Calibro. Actually, I will say no show next week.
None at all.
I won't be in the state.
It's up to you.
I'm not anticipating the episodes to be out.
Fair enough.
If they do come out in the next like 3 or 4 days, obviously we'll go from there.
Yeah, sure.
So maybe we'll do like a special Tuesday, but we'll see. At the moment, nothing planned. And obviously, you know, these three episodes dropped in a batch. A lot of people said, why aren't you doing all three episodes? And I was like, I just have a feeling that like the next batch isn't going to be out for a little bit. So I want to like make sure we have an episode to do tonight. And it worked out.
Still waiting
on subs, which again is totally fine. 134 just aired in Japan. We're going to talk about 130 here. And Pete is joining us.
Hey, what's up, Abby?
Good to see you, man.
My man, pots and pans.
Pete's joining us. And while Pete gets set up here, I do have a special announcement. It is a very... very important community member's birthday
today. That is
true.
Very true.
I have not wished him a happy birthday because I knew obviously we would be doing the stream.
Exactly.
And he's in attendance. Mm-hmm. That is Colin Cleaves.
Woo! Wow, Colin! I'm going to time this up, don't we?
All right. It's time to sing. All right. Colin, happy birthday, man. All right. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Colin. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. So what I do is out of the corner of my eye, I'm just like trying to match it like as you're flowing, just like seeing how you intend to
get. I do what they do on the opera stage. I have the, you know, the thing conducting it.
Yeah, the stick.
Yeah.
What's it called actually?
The baton.
The baton, I think.
Is it actually called the baton?
I actually don't know.
That's on the
opera
stage?
The opera stage, yeah, really? You have one dude that's just, you know.
What is that dude called by any chance?
He's called the conductor.
Okay. Oh, no, all right.
Yeah, the conductor. Pete, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be.
It's a baton. It's a King David baton.
Well, that's the style.
Well, that's the style he'd be using. He would use a regular baton.
I do want to thank everybody who donated and or super chatted in last week's episode as well. Last week's episode was a combination of 128 and 129. A huge thank you to Solid Snack, Dark Emperor J, Missing My Mitsuko, which sounds like a horse name at the Mammoth Derby, Shark Messiah, Old School, Delayed on MTA, and a special thank you to SnipeDown71 with a very, very generous donation last week. Thank you to everybody who donated and super chatted. It is never an expectation to donate, super chat, or become a channel member, but it is always, of course, greatly, greatly appreciated. And we are going to break down 130 here, Zion versus Asaka. A lot to discuss. Would anybody like
Thank
to start?
Thank you for the dono.
You know?
Say it. Say it.
You got this.
It's not the same without Caliber.
No, I'm kidding. What the fuck?
I was also distracted. You did a great job. In my head, I was running the bit where you said it sounds like a horse race, and I was like, and they're off. And
missing my mix goes.
Taking an early lead, yeah, followed shortly by delayed on MTA. Oh.
There are a lot of good names.
Good, like, phrase
yeah,
names.
Good,
like,
yeah, good, like, names for, like, horses. Yeah. God. I love that.
Sorry, good. But yeah, you should go.
No, that's good. All right. Yeah, I'll go quickly. Just generally speaking, I did think that this episode was the best of the three, by a little bit of a margin. Now, yes, I was probably the most down on 129. Wow. I think other people here enjoyed 129 a little more than I did. So I'm interested actually to see if the guys are in agreement with this being the strongest episode of the arc so far. Of course, very early on, only three episodes in. This episode really was one of the episodes that I feel you get a lot of added bonus if you watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens.
Ton.
And I really do feel like with this show, did you need to watch Sevens in order to watch Go Rush? Depends. It depends, like, what day you ask me that question. Because there's some days in some episodes where I'm like, oh, if you didn't watch Sevens, like, you'd be kind of lost by this. Or this just, I don't think, would have been impactful. And then there's other strings of episodes where I'm like, yeah, you don't need to have watched Sevens. Like, if you didn't watch Sevens, is this duel still entertaining? I think it is. Like, I definitely think it is. But there's that extra dimension and that extra bonus if you watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens. And I think that's a balance that's always really hard to strike. If you have a show that is in the same universe as a previous show, whether it's a prequel, whether it's an interquel, which it seems like this show is, or whether it's a sequel, you don't want the barrier of entry to be you had to have watched the prior show. Mm-hmm. But you also want there to be a bonus for people that have watched the prior show to get a little bit more added emotion and development if they choose to watch the next show, which in this case is Yu-Gi-Oh! Go Rush. This was a duel that we saw in Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens, almost down to, like, the wire. I mean, the parallels between Go Rush and Sevens were crazy. Obviously, Asana and Nail dueled an episode, I think it was like early 60s, maybe 63, 64, of Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens, which is a duel that Asana won. Asaka wins this duel. And Nail is dueling on behalf of Goa Corporation, really against, like, his friends and the friends that he's made throughout the journey of Sevens. Well, Zion is dueling for the Goa Corporation here, against Udius and against characters that he probably views in a somewhat friendly light. I think both episodes kind of changed his perspective on his worldview as well, Zion and Nail respectively. And I think the end of the episode here, where Zion has drawn what's clearly an early Sebastian prototype, while the end of that duel in Sevens, you know, Sebastian died, if you remember, kind of in his arms after that duel, which was a very emotional scene. So both of these episodes ending kind of with a tribute to Sebastian as well, I thought, you know, really solidified the parallels here. But all in all, again, just keeping it more on the brief side, we can dive into more things, and I'm sure we will. I thought it was a great episode, and it's another great kind of, like, discussion point as to, do you need to have watched Sevens in order to watch Go Rush? Maybe.
Now I say
maybe.
Point, I say
I mean,
yes.
I've been saying it's just, there's just so many parallels, which, again, is a good and a bad thing, right? It gives nostalgia to people who've watched Sevens, but at the same time, people who have not watched Sevens are kind of like, I think just the way they're enjoying it is just so much different than somebody who has that background with the Nail character, the Asana character.
Yeah.
You know, even if you look at our variants of the other characters, I've said this for a while, and I still think it's becoming to that point where you almost, to enjoy, I think, put it this way, if you watch, you know, Go Rush, you still can enjoy it. However, if you watch Sevens and Go Rush, you're enjoying Go Rush more because of that nostalgia factor. Unless you're someone who just doesn't care about nostalgia, then it wouldn't matter as much. But I do think you're going to enjoy it more if you've watched Sevens. But I've said that.
You disagree a little bit with that. You think there's maybe a little more, like, nuance and context that you need.
A decent amount of nuance and context. Yuga, in general, being one. And specific episodes such as when they go to present day
Sevens World. Yeah.
If I had not watched Sevens, I would be completely lost.
Well, and I imagine the Otis stuff. Now, the Otis stuff confuses us, and
we've all watched Sevens. It confuses us who's watched it. And
but I got to imagine you're lost.
Who the hell is Otis?
Right.
Yeah. I just think, I mean, if we're talking general grand scheme, you could enjoy a good majority of Go Rush.
Yeah, I'm not.
But I think there's enough nuance. They're intertwined enough at this point that I think you would need to have watched.
Yeah.
Sevens.
Well, Dredge, what did you think about this episode in particular?
Definitely, as you said, the best episode of this penultimate arc so far, for sure. Third episode of the arc. Just better interactions, better duel, forward our plot a little bit, I think. Again, 120 was arguably a recap-ish episode. And 129, just as you said, the ninja bugs aren't that exciting. However, 1010 did, you know, use her bugs to blow up the... I don't know wherever the Goha was controlling the dueling
the server,
which, yeah, it blew up the server, which was pretty cool. So they were useful to us. I want to make that clear. They were.
And
I
said it in my episode review. I gave them props at the end of that review. I said, you know what? I wasn't too high on them. And I, last week, said, I don't really think they're going to be all that important. One episode in, and I was completely wrong on that. Yeah. So
it happened.
Listen,
that was my first thought watching. I'm like, oh, they're pretty important right there.
Yeah. We'll see if that continues, but. Good start.
They did one thing.
Good start.
But yeah, overall, it was a good episode. I really enjoyed seeing the Zion backstory. I think the main thing to take away from this episode, though, is who's that girl? You know, I'm surprised you haven't brought it up. The girl.
I was waiting because that's the discussion.
You know
topic,
how I feel
I
about
think.
It, of man. Course, I see that girl, and my first thought is, I've seen that girl about 20, 30 years in the future. You know, it's something. She looks familiar. You know, and here's my thing, right? For the people who are probably in chat already roasting me for saying that's not the Mr. Girl is going to mean nothing, blah blah. Here's the thing, right? All they had to do, and my personal is just show me her eyes, and they were a different color, and I would have let it go. But we purposely don't show her the entire. So he has this great friend, right? Who he clearly cares a lot about, and we don't show her in her face. She's a random. It's not. If you're thinking that was done. You didn't see your face. No big deal. You're pulling the straw. There's a reason they didn't show her. I'm pretty confident she is the mystery girl. Now, I don't know what the mystery girl is going to do, and I was really high on her earlier on in the show. Of late, I'm nervous that we're going to be one of Dylan's 10 unanswered questions. But that being said, that was the most interesting part for me is, again, the connection with Zion. You know, she was on his ship at one point, correct?
In space.
How is she on Earth with him? So there's just so much going on there.
Oh, yeah. That's like a big thing that I forget pretty often, actually.
It's easy to forget.
Like early on, like, oh, it's just some girl who's on Earth that works a bunch of jobs. But then we're like, no. Part of Zion's backstory revolves around the fact that she exists on his ship.
Wasn't she in Seven's world as well, technically?
She was. That was, I think, an unproven thing. Oh, no.
Wait, she is.
She was in
she
Seven's
was.
World.
So, yeah. How is she in
she
all
was,
these places?
She was in Seven's world.
How
yes.
is she in all these places?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So overall, good episode. Looking forward to what happens next. I didn't watch the preview, so I actually don't know what the next duel is.
Okay. We will talk about the next duel. I will say we are not going to make picks.
No.
It feels disingenuous.
Yeah.
Even though I do believe that none of us know what happened, it just feels disingenuous because the episodes have aired. So we're not going to do the pick-ems until we're caught up if we get back to that point.
Yeah, overall, good to great episode. I don't know if I'd give it a full grade, but it was definitely good and better. But considering, again, we have only nine episodes left in the Earth, or was it 10, 13 episode arc? So 10 episodes left in the arc. We're going to, I feel like this next episode, you know, everyone is also hyping up 133 to 134,
I've heard very good things.
Yeah, which is, I people keep saying that to me, and I go, please, like, I mean this in the nicest way, don't keep hyping them up. And I mean it because truthfully, I'm going to get these, like, God-tier expectations, and then I'm going to watch and go, that was good, that was really good, but was it? And again, not to knock these people because they're probably right. It's probably really good. So I'm excited and looking forward to
it. It does come down to personal taste. It is being hyped up by people that I feel would not be very excited about it unless they were really good. The only thing that makes me nervous is these episodes have not been officially translated yet.
Yes.
And I remember there were ARC 5 episodes where I watched live at 5 in the morning and everybody's like, oh my God, that episode was crazy. I can't wait till we get all that back.
And then you get
and there was really nothing. It was a nothing burger when you got the dialogue. So that's my only trepidation, but I do feel like those episodes are going to be good. And I think Listen, we got to get to the stuff. Yeah. They're really slow rolling. Uemu and Yuhi and Zuijo and
so,
all
of
them.
There's just so much, man.
Yeah,
so
we'll get to it. So we'll get to it. Nick T, your thoughts on 130.
I thought it was a great episode. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. I've been waiting quite a long time now at this point for, you know, a good return to form for both Asaka and Zion, both of which who have had, you know, great performances in the past, but not, I mean, I guess Asaka did have like a good duel with
Yuna
she
recently.
She lost, but yeah. But like, even so, like seeing two like characters that I like quite a bit, even though Asaka has had her ups and downs, but that's besides the point. The fact that two characters that I like quite a bit facing off in probably one of the most interesting duels to me in a while.
The duel quality was very good.
The duel quality was excellent.
I agree.
Some almost improbably excellent turns.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what I liked. I'm like, there's no way she's doing all this.
Yeah. The three like, consecutive fusion
that,
summons.
Dude,
yeah.
And that's coming from someone who's like, yeah, the duel, you know, I'm more about the story than the duel. But this I'm, like, locked in, dude.
Yeah. No, the dueling action was really good.
The dueling action was great. The mystery behind Zion's backstory, very bizarre. You know, mystery girl.
We'll talk about that. I haven't said anything myself.
But like you guys said, Proto Sebastian. No. Like, there's, I think, a lot to be enjoyed in this episode, even without us like fully like torpedoing. And again, we've said like last week. Now is kind of crunch time. Like, we can't really afford to be, you know, wading in the water, but like treading water. That's the phrase. But as far as an episode that isn't really torpedoing us forward yet, I still really enjoyed it.
I'm in agreement. And something that I also really, really loved about this episode, it felt like a very good conclusion for both of these characters.
Agreed.
If both of these characters do not duel again,
that's what
I'm
really
very happy with that.
I don't think they will.
Asaka. Zion, it feels this was it.
That was it for him.
I know, that was good timing.
That was good
timing. Well, so that's another thing that I appreciate. Listen, we haven't gotten to, of course, the meat and potatoes we all want to see, but let's wrap up these side character stories in a good, meaningful, impactful way.
I
feel like this episode did a very good job of that.
I think that's what they're really like pointing towards now at this point. And based on next week's preview, I get the sense that like we're wrapping up certain characters with their final duels.
Agreed.
Just so we can then eventually get
to the heavy stuff.
To the heavy stuff.
I agree.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool. Pete, would love to bring you in your thoughts on the duel between Zion and Asaka.
Yeah, nothing to really say. It was a good episode. It's the best of the three.
Yeah.
I think you guys have kind of laid it out. I don't really have anything else to say.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's fine. Cool. That's fair. Another great reference that actually none of us mentioned, R0. Which is what Asaka drives
Yuga
in.
Yuga showed.
And,
you mentioned in the episode.
Right. At the end of episode 39 of Sevens, Yuga, after he beat Asana, showed Asana that machine. Now, remember, in Sevens.
In the garage, right?
Yes, in the garage. And we compared the machines, and they look incredibly similar. Now, Asana, you know, drove R6 in Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens. R0, you imagine, was probably the first machine.
Well, Zero, I feel like, implies, it's a prototype.
Correct.
Because it's not the first.
So it was really cool to see it operatable. And that's another thing that I feel like these episodes recently have done. I think it started with the Lug episode where he drew Tiger and drew the Luke Man on his comic. And we were like, whoa, those are two characters from Sevens. Well, now, you know, you see Zion draw what is supposed to be Sebastian.
Yeah.
And then you also have, you know, Asaka driving now R0, which was a vehicle that we saw in Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens.
Yeah.
So again, you know, does this show directly lead into Sevens? It's hard to say now because of how effed up the timeline's going to be because of Yuga's, like, influence on it and, you know, creating Rush Duels in this time. But, like, you can certainly see, as these episodes have gone on, the deeper connections between Sevens and Go Rush, which I really, really do enjoy.
Yeah.
So that was something that I wanted to note. I mean, we got to talk about Zion's flashback. One of the more, like, interesting parts of the episode for me. Obviously, it was very critical for his character progression as well throughout this episode, you know, to learn, like, what he really wants in life. And, you know, he just wants to make people happy, essentially, and kind of breaks away from Setsuri at the end of the episode, which I thought was really, really nice. Even wanted Asaka to defeat him. I mean, he didn't even want to win. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be proven that the doubts he was having about Setsuri were valid and were justified. And the only way that he was going to be able to confirm that is if he was able to be defeated.
Right.
And I think that's it. Like, I've never seen a Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelist want to lose a duel so badly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In a very long time.
Wrong,
yeah, he was begging.
He was
begging Asaka to defeat her. Yeah. And he never went easy on her. He didn't take it easy or throw the duel.
No.
Like, he dueled the best he could, and Asaka was able to pull it off. So the character stuff was great. The flashback stuff is crazy to me. You know, I said it during the watch-along on Monday night. My first thought was... the mystery girl. Now, yes, yeah. I have a video on my channel. I'm a peddler of the theory that girl is going to end up being a very important character. A lot of the naysayers, I'll say, said in chat, hey, the hair color is clearly different. So it's clearly not the same. And I looked, and it is slightly different. I'm not going to say it's the same. But Dredger made an interesting point. We never see the face.
Yeah.
We never see the eyes.
All you have to do is
hair
show
color
face.
Can change. Eye color, you know, not but as easily.
If you look at almost anyone's baby pictures, their hair then is arguably very rarely the exact same color. Now, is it similar? Of course. Like, why would your hair change in 180, right? But for the most part,
well,
if you
color's
had,
similar.
Similar, right?
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
what we're saying here, right? The purplish.
The base colors.
Yeah, they're both. Like, for example, if this character had brown hair and we were trying to relate it to the mystical purple hair. Okay. Great. Yeah, but they both have a shade of purple.
I would say
right?
that, yes.
So arguably that purple could have, you know, developed into the Mystery Girl's purple, right?
Yes.
So like that's what we're trying to say is like it's not like it's going from brown to black or black to purple.
The other thing that I'll say real quick, if this character is her, I don't think that means too much in the sense of what my theory has been, that she is some sort of all-seeing eye and spy.
Yeah.
It doesn't really add anything there. So I do have to clarify that.
Some kind of connection between these characters.
Correct.
Given that she was on his ship.
Yes.
So it just kind of further strengthens that. So I don't see why it would be so far-fetched that it's her.
Yeah, well, and even if it ends up being her, again, I don't think it adds any sort of credence to, this character is working for Otis or the creator.
It doesn't change that.
You know, and I'm saying that. I'm the one who believes it, and I'm the one saying it, you know.
It only adds further credence that, she has a deeper connection with him than we thought. They go further back than we thought. With Zion, I mean.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But, yeah, it doesn't change anything crack theory-wise.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting the way that they did present this character. Whether it's the mystery girl or not, I can't really remember a character showing up in another character's, like, flashback that clearly has some direct individual importance to that character that, like, never got revealed.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, very important to keep in mind. I would be stunned if this character just ended up staying like random girl from Zion's flashback. Because Yu-Gi-Oh! Very rarely does it. I remember in Yu-Gi-Oh! Reigns when Aoi Zaizen was in a coma and one of the nurses had like pretty crazy hair. People were like, that nurse has really cool hair. That nurse, 20 episodes later, ended up being Vira and ended up dueling Aoi.
Right.
So
right.
It's like there's always a reason when a character seems weird or sticks out in an individual sense. So from that perspective, too, I think this character is... it was weird how they presented it. I don't want to say is going to be important because I don't see how you could really take that from this flashback, even if it ends up being the Mystery Girl character. But I mean, you know, Dredger, you kind of gave your thoughts. I mean, Nick T, what do you think? Do you think it's more than likely the Mystery Girl or do
think
you think
it's more than likely the Mystery Girl?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I really do, especially given the established like connection with those two characters.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's... I think it would be interesting to introduce another character that part of Zion's past this late in the game.
Right.
Only to what? Get no development?
Or they just never touch this girl again, which I think would
be
weird.
Even weirder.
And it's something that Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't often do. I can't think of one example of where Yu-Gi-Oh! Did that.
Yeah.
I just can't.
I can't, yeah.
An unnamed character.
I think it would just serve both Zion and... this mystery girl we've been seeing, like, it would serve their characters way better for that to be her.
Yep. And now that Zion is, like, kind of on our team and he's against Goha, maybe he'll be able to, like, use this mystery girl in some way.
Yeah.
Maybe she has some sort of power. I mean, I think it's heavily implied that she's not human. I think that
has to be.
That's heavily implied. Yeah. She's on the ship.
Yeah.
I mean,
where do you get? Yeah.
But again,
wandered onto it and then he took right. off, left Earth, and then came yeah, back.
Right. But again, you know, how much are they really going to get into that character, you know? I don't know.
That's the interesting thing.
Yeah. Pete, did you make anything of the flashbacks? I mean, what were your thoughts when you saw them?
I'm not going to get involved in a conversation about the mystery.
Doesn't believe it.
People know my feelings on that.
Yeah.
All right. Mystery Girl aside, what are your feelings on this set scene specifically?
I mean, it was interesting. It's good to add to Zion's backstory. I've been asking for a duel for him for a while now.
Yeah.
Thought we got a really good one, and you get the whole Sebastian connection, which I thought was a nice little tie into Sevens, because I was wondering what he was holding as the piece of paper the whole time. Weird that the girl looked like Rovian, even though it clearly isn't.
It did look like Rovian.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. That was my initial thought.
Why would you take on that like shape, the hat, the hair color? I thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, you don't see an anime character's face. There's a reason for it. I mean, it's just classic anime.
Yeah.
So you think we'll definitely see who it is.
Yeah, it'll be someone. Getting into the whole
thing. No, I get that. No, I get that. It is just a weird, I'm just very weirded out by the presentation of that character, because I do feel like Zion's story has kind of concluded in a very solid way here. So it's very weird that they would introduce a character like that. But I don't know. Maybe they'll leave it alone and they'll surprise all four of us.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we think it's the mystery girl or not. Yeah, I wouldn't either. It would definitely be an unanswered question. But, I mean, feel like Bridge Yu-Gi-Oh! Is more tightly written than past Yu-Gi-Oh!s, where, like, character appearances like that might are going to be important more times than not.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there was any other, like, big discussion points. Obviously, you touched on 10-10 being important right off the bat.
Well, what I'm interested in, I mean, yeah, the 10-10 being important, like, I think that was cool. I'm hoping we see more of that, and that's not a one-off thing. But on the topic of potentially one-off things, the idea of being able to ban and, like, shut down access to dueling, in Sokka's case here, but is that going to become a recurring theme across the next series of duels as we... free our friends and approach Asana as a leader, as a villain, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
Yuna.
Yuna. I knew you meant. It does remind me of how Goha duels were described at the beginning of Sevens, before Sevens episode one even aired, right? They were like rough and rigid littered with rules. It almost felt like Goha had a hand in watching every single duel that was happening. And that's why Yuga wanted to create Rush Duels, because it was a more free way to duel. Right. It wasn't under Goha's rule. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what, like, this reminded me of when Yuna tried to, like, take over, like, all the dueling.
Which is interesting that you say that about being, like, rigid, because that's exactly Yuhi Otis's comment there, is what he's
right.
like, standing there... like, so, I forget the exact
Your
words.
Shoulders are too stiff.
He's like, you're standing so stiff. It's like, I feel like there's a parallel there.
Well, remember, Otis ended up going against Goha.
Exactly.
So, right, Yuhi insulting Goha Yuna there and her posture and her poise shouldn't really be surprising at all, as you mentioned, because, I mean, Otis left Goha, made a whole scene at that tournament, threw the Sevens road card to Yuga.
Yeah, so like maybe his criticisms of Yuna now are like sowing the seeds of dissent for what is supposed to happen.
Yeah. And that's fine. The two of them are not going to stay friendly.
No.
And we know this because Yuna's got a whole other plan that she's cooking up
has
by
nothing
herself.
To do with him,
right. With the trap card, time machine.
Yep.
Pretty right on the nose there, right? What that card's going to do. Mm-hmm. So how is she going to use that card? What's she going to use that card for? I don't know. But like, that's going to be really, really fascinating to see. Okay. And I'm sure that's going to go against whatever Yuhi Otis is trying to do at this point. And honestly, Yuhi Otis, I don't think even really knows what he's trying to do. I mean, it's a character that basically has a fresh slate of memories.
Right.
And then, you know, Yuumu is just sulking. That's all. She's been the sulker.
Has not said a single word in two to three episodes.
Yeah. She's like transformed into her final form, sulking Yuumu. No, I mean, but it's true. She's just sulking.
That's what I'm going to call her.
Sulking. That's what I'll call her. Sulking Yuumu. So she's, you know. We'll see what happens with her, but I don't know what she's going to do from this point on. Zuijo, I mean, see, this is the most like deer in the headlights I've ever seen from Zuijo.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, where he's like, it seems like he, I thought he was going to have a secondary plan. I thought he was going to have a secret plan. I guess he really is going to serve the Darkmeister and serve Uamu. And now his orders from Uamu are to protect and guard Yuhi Otis. And I guess that's what he's going to do. But he seems he's just kind of waiting for the next move.
Or he's playing the long game.
Well, it's getting too long. The long game's getting too long.
Maybe not. I mean, we do. To be fair, we still have over 20 episodes, you'd imagine.
Oh, I'm not talking about just like in terms of how much time we have to go, but like how long have we had Zuijo now by the Darkmeister side? And like, oh, and the episode he was brought on, they're like, oh, it definitely seems like he's got an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we did say...
Well, what is it? What is it, buddy?
We did make the argument, too, right? Like, Zuijo was dead, comes back
pondering
to life.
Pondering Zuijo.
And just, like, he wants to almost be with his comrades, right? Like, he doesn't...
Well, that
so
is,
he's not...
Yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't sound like his character, but it's that's what they could end up doing. It'd be a disservice to him. But,
I mean, Quaidul's also an X factor. Oh, like,
so where's that guy at? Just hiding
inside
Udius,
but that's
you know?
What I mean. Like, you gotta remember... you know, this was a very, very, I really did like this episode, but like, yes, this arc has maybe started without all of those characters being involved. We still have plenty of time, and there still are a lot of interesting players that I think are going to make big moves by the time this arc and this show comes to an end.
For sure.
Yep. So that is what I like. There is that sense of unpredictability. Yuna's plans. What is the fate of Yuhi Otis? I still think Yuga is going to get involved some way or another. Quaidul's power. Are they going to be able to revive the Valgirians? Are the Dark Men going to cease to exist because of the Valgirian revival? Do they fail to revive the Valgirians? They're, you know, what's Zuijo cooking, if anything?
You've already gave us 10 questions, and we have like 22 episodes.
I think that's enough time. I do.
You've said that. I know.
I
do think
that's enough time.
I hope so.
Yeah. And some of them are not as important. Like, do the Valgirians revive? They might revive in the final episode.
Yeah, you can do that. Again, all...
That's not as important.
It's just
I would say the Yuga, Yuna, and Yuhi Otis things are
more
important.
It's almost like this studio is using the diamonds are made under pressure motto here. They're like, oh, let's keep adding on questions. And then with like 5 seconds, we're going to hit them with everything.
Yes.
It does make me nervous.
Well, I mean, look at what they did with Otis at the end of Sevens, right? I mean,
that ended up being a
diamond.
No, he's terrible.
I know.
He's been around for...
I know, I'm aware.
223 episodes.
I'm making a lighthearted quip.
It wasn't lighthearted. 223 episodes I've known this character, and I still have no clue what the hell he's doing.
Yeah. No, I know. It's...
223.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. I agree. I don't know. I don't even know who Otis is. I really don't. Like, if you told me who was Otis in Sevens, I don't know. We don't know.
Are you still on the it's a different Otis than there is now? Or back to this one
I don't know. I don't know.
That's how you know, right?
It's actually crazy. I'm like almost burnt out of like making Otis theories. Because it's gone for over 4.5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we were theorizing. Pete made the theory at the beginning of Sevens that it was a Yuga, which I like, and actually I agree with now.
Yeah.
But like, think about that. That theory was made in April of 2020. Oh, that's when it was made. People were making Otis theories in April of 2020. This has been going on for 4.5 years.
I finally broke dealing with Otis. I love it.
No, I mean, I don't know.
It's a lot. Man.
It is a lot. And we need that to make sense. We need it to be written well. And
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it'll happen.
Here's the thing, though. I need it to happen. I don't even care about the 50-turn Mario Party game at this point. I can't have the 9th Yu-Gi-Oh! Show.
No.
Just have Otis's name somewhere in that damn title. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. It would be... Oh, God. I don't have words. It'd be like probably like one of the sadder moments in the last few years is if I find out that this... We went through 4-plus years... Well, how many years is it technically?
At that point, it'll be 5.
Almost 5 years. Yeah. And I still don't know about this character. And they're forcing me to watch another show to find out about this character. Oh, God.
There's not many things that I think could kill the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime franchise. That might be
the Ballad of Otis.
No, that really might be. Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, the Ballad of Otis. Well, I'll tell you what. In the next 7 days, if the Go Rush trademark was any indicator. In the next 7 days, we might get the name of Yu-Gi-Oh! 9.
What day was it?
I think it was November 23rd.
So technically Saturday.
Yes. Now, J-Bix, a very good user in the community, very nice guy,
yes,
very well informed. He's always looking up the trademark and copyright databases.
Smart.
For any new things that pop up. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be one of the first people that finds it if anything gets registered by, I would imagine it would be Konami. And, of course, I'll cover it and do a video on it right away.
Yep.
But that's kind of... that's kind of where we're at.
Yep.
Like, we're nervously waiting,
man,
for the name of Yu-Gi-Oh! 9.
I'm waiting for that group chat text from you, and you just write. I don't look at the message. I see there's an image, and you just write, "Guys, I'm so sorry." And then I open the image, and it says something with Otis, and I'm just
I'd be done, dude. It's over.
The Ballad of Otis. What a ridiculous
Christ.
Name. Welcome back to another Yu-Gi-Oh! The Ballad of Otis episode review.
Oh, God.
No. This is episode 12. No, we can't do it. We can't do it, dude.
Only got the 12. I'm done. Can't do it.
Yeah,
the middle of your episode, you actually post it. I can't. No.
I'm done.
I need a minute.
Guys, after some reflection, I'm done.
Do we want to read some donations?
Let's
chats?
Do it. Yeah, let's go over to you.
First of all, appreciate all you guys being here. Again, no episode next Wednesday. As for 131, 132, 133, 134, they have all aired. Yes, this Saturday is 135. They have all aired. Subs have not come out. I don't know any updates regarding the subs for those episodes, but right now the next Crazy Eights will probably be December 4th. I'm hoping there is a big batch that has been uploaded by that point. I don't know if there will be or not. If there's not, I'm sure it'll just be an after dark, but we'll go from there. And then if like a 131 and 132 come out like tomorrow, maybe I'll see if anybody's down to do like a Tuesday night show or something like that.
Nah.
So stay tuned for that. If episodes get subbed within, I would say, the next like 3 or 4 days, maybe before the Thanksgiving holiday, we will do a Crazy Eights episode. If not, December 4th, that's when the show will be back.
Cool.
Yeah.
One or two.
Yeah, you start with the links and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Yep. Dark Emperor J, thank you so much for the $2 donation. Appreciate you, Dark Emperor.
Thank you, Dark Emperor.
Random question. Let's say you get mugged, your wallet was stolen.
Thank you for the dono.
Jesus. And you decided to learn a fighting technique for self-defense purpose only. What fighting style do you want to learn?
Jiu-jitsu.
Karoff, my God.
Is that because of Kaizen?
No, not actually. I just like jiu-jitsu. Because like boxing's not going to do much. Mixed martial arts, UFU. I like Krav Maga, apparently is very...
Yeah, apparently it's a pretty...
What's
brutal.
The name?
Yeah, Krav Maga.
Krav Maga? Isn't that the name of like a celebrity?
No, it's not. At least not that I'm aware of.
I beat the minute you started asking and just shaking his head. Like, oh, so.
Yeah, it's a pretty...
What would you
like,
do? What would you
I would do martial art.
I would do taekwondo.
It's a classic. I did taekwondo
classic
growing up.
I know. You were a blue belt.
I got the black belt, actually.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
did
you.
Congratulations. Get it? Did you do
No, I did not do it.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I think you knew I didn't do it, and you still wanted to ask me in front of people.
I didn't look like you did, that's for sure.
Pete, what are you picking?
Probably the first thing that came to my mind was Krav Maga.
There you go.
This guy gets
what,
it.
What country is that style from?
It's Israeli military force primarily uses it. It's... when you're an Israeli citizen, you have to serve, man or woman has to serve mandatory 2 years in the military. So you kind of
teach
you
like
there.
A martial art. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never even heard of it.
It's derived from Aikido, boxing, judo, karate, and wrestling.
Yeah, it's like a pretty, it's like
very
a
real world situation esque. I say
it's pretty tough.
Now, why did you pick taekwondo? Why did you pick jiu-jitsu? Not because of the show.
It's not.
He's a piece of garbage.
It's just the fighting style. I like the fighting style, like the movements. It's just something that for my size, I don't think people would expect me to be able to be able to perform jiu-jitsu. So it'd be better for me. Oh, Krav Maga is a cool one too. Like I just didn't even think of that off the top of my head. That's a good one though. So.
Would you change your pick?
No.
Jiu-jitsu, like jiu-jitsu. Is there a lot of kicking involved? Because I know there's one martial arts where there's a lot of kicking.
Kickboxing?
No, it's not.
Oh, is that? No.
Jiu-jitsu is primarily groundwork. So
okay.
That would be something good for Dredge because... I mean, just the style that he would fight and just the kind of the size that he is, it would actually work effectively for him to headlock or lock arms away, or
yeah.
actually
pop some
be
guy's head
yeah,
off,
yeah, or
squeeze a little tight,
or
yeah.
just pop somebody's shoulder out.
Oh, yeah. that works too. And yeah, my physical therapy background gives me that.
What?
Oh, I know how to. You know,
I feel like
now
you
what,
definitely
what,
put me to sleep.
Did
like
I pick a good one with Taekwondo?
Taekwondo is a good
Taekwondo's
one
because that's the one where you have to have like a long reach, right?
I mean,
what are you talking about?
He always he has no clue. He has just.
I was thinking of the one guy in Street Fighter. What's wait.
I don't even know who it is, dude. That's too
spider,
fucking funny.
Long limbs. yeah, Dalsim.
Can I see him?
Yeah, he's this guy, and his legs get real long.
Dylan's like, I'm just gonna do that.
I mean, if I looked like that, I nobody would mug me, right?
I guess. I mean, that's a good point.
I don't feel like I should comment on that.
Dalsim. great question, Dark Emperor J. We love it. Elaine, thank you so much for the 100 bits. Hi,
thank
Dylan
you,
and crew. Good episode. Hi. Mutsuba Heavy Machinery and Goa Company were trying to develop solid vision, but they couldn't do it until Yuga showed up. It looks like Goa duels were about to be made before Yuga showed up. Dimamu is still multiplying without Monster Reborn. If Dimamu keeps multiplying, who do you think will get revived next? I screenshotted 131 and 132 summaries and sent them to you on Discord. Don't worry, they don't spoil anything. Thank you for letting me know, Elaine. I will certainly take a look later today. I appreciate you sending them over.
That's so nice.
Very nice of her. And thank you for the bits.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot to take in there. I mean, Dimamu still multiplying. I think
I don't even know what to make of that. To be honest,
that's another question, man.
Yeah, I haven't even.
Yeah, we keep because it's on the back burner.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. It's a very good point. I think if anybody gets revived. I mean, Kwai Duel, I think, is the obvious
Kwai
one.
Kwai Duel is technically a part of Udius. He won't be revived.
Yeah, but like, how do those rules
Duty,
work? Because Zuija was
that, isn't
dead.
That, isn't that great
Duty
question?
Nisha.
We don't know the answer to that either, how they work.
We don't.
Duty Nisha.
Duty Nisha.
We're up to... What?
That's the reviving.
Pete's not having it. He's just like, I'm not doing
I
it.
I mean, but like, who else is there? I mean, obviously you have Muda and Dinois. Who else is there? I can't think of anyone. That's why my mind went to Kwai Duel.
Algerian number 483,223.
I'm sorry, but Duty Nishaw,
no.
Dinois, and Muda, I don't think they're important enough and relevant enough to revive right now.
They're
going to
get revived.
Kwai Duel's
the
only
episode.
One, unless something really weird happens where the creator gets like revived. I don't know.
The creator's
who knows?
Dead? The creator,
we
the
don't like.
Dead?
They really could do anything with Dimamu. Dimamu is almost like a get-out-of-jail-free card to the writing staff.
Like, no way. Because
you could
Dimamu.
Revive anyone
yeah.
and just say it was Dimamu's power.
Yeah.
Right. And how do you, like, say, well, that doesn't make sense. But we don't know really the extent of his
anything.
Power. We don't know anything.
Yeah, they could do anything.
Isn't it?
A sad
I didn't know Dimamu could do that. And it's like, there
right.
you go.
Right. I didn't know Dimamu could take the form of another duelist and mimic their voice and yeah. deck. And, you know, I...
Who knows?
I don't know. You know, it's a good question. Utis, thank you for the $2 donation.
You,
hello, Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything crew.
Hi.
My name is Utis, and I am the next protagonist in the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Show. Yu-Gi-Oh! The Story of Otis. A show exploring my story with Rush Duels as the son of the biggest menace in Seto Kaiba, my dad Otis. Stay tuned.
No, so this I'm not commenting.
This would be, well, I want you to comment. This would be a show where it would be the son of Otis. Would that?
No.
Okay.
Well, we do already have the son of Otis.
Who's Yuga. That? I, for the longest time, I said Otis could be Yuga's father. I always felt like that would have made sense.
Jury's still out, technically.
We're 130 episodes into the show.
No, stop.
There's so much we don't know.
Oh, you're starting to realize that now. Why I'm concerned, and have said I'm concerned for the past 4 episodes of this show.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm so concerned, man.
I'm a little concerned.
Because the more we dig, we're like, oh,
I'm
wait.
Not worried.
You're not worried?
No.
I'm glad. You know why, Dil? You are you are one of the more calm human beings I know in a lot of situations.
Thank you.
It's kind of a compliment. but yeah, you're just like, yeah, it'll be fine. And in my head, I'm like,
Well,
much.
Do you think there's enough time for them to cover everything?
Physically, there's enough time.
Technically, yes.
Technically.
Do I think they necessarily will? Maybe.
They're going to leave some stuff out.
Every Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, I've been able to make a top 10 unanswered questions.
Yeah.
I'm sure Go Rush will not be different.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So what he's saying is, he's basically saying that he's not worried, but he knows they're not going to get everything done.
You just have to hope those unanswered questions are not important.
Got it.
Correct.
That's fair.
Like, Vrain's, the top one was like the spy, you know, for the Knight of Hanoi. you know, Sevens' top one was who returned at the end of the show, who was Otis, the obsession with the book. I mean, those were all pretty important questions.
What was your number one?
That we still don't have answers to.
Yeah.
I don't know if my
Vrain's
number
had
one.
A lot.
I don't think my number one Vrain's one was the spy at Soltec for the Knights of Hanoi. That one was high. It may have been. I don't remember the ordering.
It wasn't I. What happened to I at the end of the show?
That probably
I think it has to be, right?
Yeah, that's probably
Soltec's probably high. They also the chess. What was the whole chess? The chess piece was dropped.
Yeah, no, Vrain's had a lot. How about when Blood Shepherd barges into Akira Zaizen's office, slams like a folder on the desk, and he said, "What's this? I just found this in the files," and it's about how Soltec is trying to make a divine Ignis.
Yeah,
and Akira's like, "I don't know where this is from. I've got to look more into this." Never gets mentioned again.
Yeah.
I know some people said, well, it was supposed to be Bowman. Bowman was his own thing. He wasn't connected
to
Soul Technologies. No. Yeah. That was a whole other plot point.
I think they just twisted. They tweaked it.
Sure, maybe. But when you look back at that scene, it's a total drop plot point.
Yeah.
You know? There was a lot with Vrain's. I mean, there's a lot in every show.
What can I say?
Yeah. Thank you, Dark Emperor, and thank you, Udis. Well, I actually don't know who Udis is. It could be delayed. It could be 20
people. I don't
know
if it's delayed, I'll say.
Yeah, it could be many people.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was the last link.
I think it is, right? Last link, yeah. We got 14 months of Raw Yellow from Tylor DeBoer.
Wow,
Thank you, Tylor. Thank you, man.
Happy day 50 of a playable Mitsuko-less Duel Links. Though good episode, with Phone Girl, Mystery Girl, and now Flashback Girl, we've got a trifecta.
They're all the same person.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? If they never mention this girl in the flashback again, she will be known as Flashback Girl.
Yes, she will.
That's going to be her name. And then the trifecta, if the Mystery Girl turns out to be nothing, the trifecta has been complete of the Phone Girl, the Flashback Girl, and the Mystery Girl. Only for Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 to reveal they were all the same character.
That's what I'm saying.
That's where I'm at right now.
The most underwhelming reveal in Yu-Gi-Oh! History.
It would be up there.
It might. Tylor, listen, man. I know you've been counting down on Twitter the days of Mitsuko. You know, day 48 without Mitsuko and Duel Links. Day 49 without Mitsuko and Duel Links. Today is day 50. I love Tylor's dedication.
Yeah.
I've got to be the one to say it. And you know I'm the one that keeps a lot of hopium. And I make these theories. Why? And I don't think anything's impossible. Tylor, I think maybe it'll mean something coming from me. I'm sorry. Mitsuko is not going to be a playable character in Duel Links. I'm sorry.
I agree with that statement.
I'm sorry. And I don't like saying it.
No.
But I'm sorry.
I don't get pleasure.
No, I don't. No. There's nothing fun about saying it.
No.
And by the way, I would have liked to play as an 8, you know, whatever foot alien.
Yeah.
Nine. She's nine.
Not
right?
Nine.
That was the whole
even better. I would have loved to play as her. But, Tylor, I'm sorry. It's
Toto would have loved her.
Thank you.
Owie Toto would have loved her.
What was his preference in women?
Tall woman with a large caboose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Jennifer Lawrence.
Exactly. The fact J Law gets called out in that is you really think about it, it's like, yikes. We got five.
I like the way they say Jennifer Lawrence in the show.
Yeah,
like,
Jennifer Lawrence. Right?
Like it's so like.
I'm like, whoa, wait, what?
I remember when I first watched it, I'm like, what did he just say?
It almost takes you out of the show for a second.
Yeah. Huh? Like what? Anime just mentioned Jennifer Lawrence.
That is a Jujutsu Kaisen thing. Tyler, yes. I'm sorry, man. I hope it comes. But thank you for being a channel member. He's at 14 months.
14
thank,
months.
Thank
Raya.
You, Tyler. Appreciate you, my man.
We have five Australian from Electric Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Who do y'all think would win in a duel between Ishizu Ishtar and Carly Carmine?
You know you got my pick.
Hey, why are you picking that way?
You're picking Carly?
You don't know which way I'm picking.
I'm pretty confident.
He's picking. Not picking Carly.
I'm picking Ishizu.
Yeah, I knew that. Are you kidding me?
Well, I think
he wanted the play mat
well,
that you
no,
lost.
Dylan wanted the mat.
No, I got the
Dylan
mat
didn't
for
want
him.
The mat.
I got the mat for him.
He got it for me, but he
I
wanted
think the
it.
Question with that
can
hypothetical
you saw that mat?
Is does Carly have her, like, Dark Signer?
I asked
her. I would say she
God.
Does. Yeah, she can have it. Yeah, she can have it. What do you think now?
Ishizu.
Yeah, I know. Well, does Ishizu have the Millennium
Well, if Carly has her Dark Signer support, then she should have the Millennium Necklace.
Okay, so they both if they both have their power-ups, I still take Ishizu. Yeah, that's a
good one.
It's a good one, though.
That is a good one, yeah. And by the way, speaking of which, Fantasy Duels returns next Friday with Jack Atlas versus Kite.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
The way we are doing Fridays going forward is
Oh, my God.
She's gorgeous, man. No, and I've said that about her. I've said many for years. She's got the best aesthetics.
Zeremi fan, the fantasy duel will be Jack Atlas, the king, versus Kaito.
So, yes, the way we are going to do Fridays, we are going to cycle through three different retro series, which I'm very excited about. Actually, Legendary Duel is a good friend of mine, great friend of the channel. He is going to be editing all of those series, which is awesome. And, you know, all the donations, super chats, it goes back into the channel. We're able to bring in an editor, which is amazing. So he's going to be doing those videos for Fridays. Every three Fridays, you're going to get a fantasy duel. Then you're going to get an anime versus manga character analysis. And then you're going to get a What Made a Duel special. Those are going to be the three on cycle. And I can say What Made a Duel special, which is going to be December 13th. That's when it returns. That is going to be UDS versus Quai Duel round two.
Oh, yeah.
So that is going to be the first rush duel that we are going to be dissecting. So I'm still unsure about what character we're going to do for anime versus manga. Probably going to run a poll in the Master Duel stream tomorrow at 2. Ooh. So if you want to make your voice heard, stop by
the Master stream on Friday, 22nd?
2, back to back. Master Duel versus Chats Friday, the XZ's festival
is tomorrow.
Climb is
my
tomorrow.
Apologies.
Yeah. No, you're good, because there is one Friday.
Well, no, because I was just I was going to make a quick little meme. I may be on the wheel for Friday.
Okay.
Just to give you, I'll give you a little heads up.
Okay, that would be game two.
The
wheel's got a mind of its own.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
But maybe a Master Duel round two.
Yeah, I reached out to Stardust Nobody. He's going to make some of the thumbnails for those things that, you know, he did that way back in the day. So, yeah, it's good.
Awesome.
We're kind of like getting the old team back together.
There
and,
we go.
The
band back together.
Yeah, it's cool.
Getting the band back together. We have two $10 donations from Fwee Weep.
Thank you so much, Fwee Weep. Thank you, Fwee Weep.
First one. Hey, guys. Hope everything is good. Sorry for being out of topic, but I'm so excited for the returning Zexal reviews. Also, super excited for Jump Fest in less than a month.
Yeah, so Jump Fest in less than a month. We're going to be live December 20th.
How many days till Jump Fest?
29 freaking days. Are you kidding me? Less than a month. Road to Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 up today. Hopefully you checked it out, Fwee Weep. Thank you so much for the donation. Yes, a huge thank you, of course, to these two sitting besides Nick T, Pete and Dredger. The Zexal reactions are back starting tomorrow, episode 7. That should be up every single Thursday moving forward. Well, there's like
140,
it would probably be for the next 2 years.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Could be for a while. All right.
Yes. Now, there might be a point where if there's a two-part duel,
right? Two-part
duels. Two-part duel, I might just show the duel. But, yeah, that's going to be every single Thursday. So something to look forward to on Thursdays. We're very excited for that to be back. Huge shout-out again to Dredger and Pete for doing that.
Yeah.
And, I'm excited to kind of watch Zexal with them, and hopefully you guys will be as well.
Yeah, we just met Kite. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Very, very excited.
Yeah, that is when Zexal steps up a notch.
Cooking.
Yeah, because the beginning up until Kite is a little tough.
Yeah, I've heard Yuma over 400 times, so I kind of need a little break from
that. That you may never get a break from, but it steps up when Kite shows up. Fwee Weep, thank you so much for the two $10 super chats.
Second $10 is coming.
Thank you,
Nick T, this is for you. I also wanted to ask Nick T if there was any updates for Nameling. I've been playing his playlist on loop repeatedly. Sorry if the question annoys him.
Oh, no, not annoying at all.
What's Fwee Weep? Comment what song,
Nick T. Oh, that's good. What's your favorite song?
Yeah, what's your favorite song?
Favorite song.
I'll sing.
So I have a bunch of things that I'm sitting on but don't have an active schedule yet. At this rate, probably in the new year, we'll have the album.
Okay.
Another single after the album.
Ooh, back-to-back goodies.
Shirts.
Oh, shirts.
Limited, but a potentially obtainable amount of vinyl and cassettes.
And cassettes.
So,
ooh, a lot of stuff.
Maybe and stickers, too. So we're looking at like a whole little run for Nameling.
Caliber needs more stickers for his laptop.
Early in the new year. I'm in the process of putting together some remixes for the album. I already had one person reach out regarding them, and they are they have the parts of the song to
from the community, right?
For someone from the community. I didn't want to announce it yet because I didn't know if, but I'll say it anyway because he's a great guy and you should check out his music. Shout out Ryu Matrix, who he does a lot of sort of remixes of like video game music and original music. Very talented musician and producer who I've had contact with like over like a number of years. Reached out to me after I made the announcement and is interested in doing a Nameling remix. So you may see his in the near future as well as potentially some other friends. So there's definitely stuff in the works. As far as like timeline, early next year for a good chunk of that stuff.
Very exciting. And Fwee Weep said it was Magic 8 Ball touches their heart. You're upset, but your luck will turn around. The 8 Ball isn't magic. Your luck will turn around. You're upset, but I try to calm you down. How was that?
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you, man.
That was great. A little loud, but it was good.
Oh, sorry. I tried to sing away from the mic.
You definitely blew out some.
I not blow people's ears.
I think you might have.
Colin literally writes, Jesus Christ.
It's okay.
That's a great song. Let me tell you something, Let me tell you something. Nameling Music's great. And when that album drops, we will be doing a listening party on Twitch.
Heck yeah, we will.
And that is something I said a couple years ago.
Made that promise.
It still stands.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. We did that when you dropped the EP, so 100%.
She on the one on you, I think.
Fwee Weep. Thank you. Wow, this is someone.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the interest.
Very, very kind. They're awesome. Thank you, Fwee Weep. Wow, Rovian Space Poem Fan 420. How about this?
That goes hard.
Thank you for... Thank you for the $2 donation. Where is the Rovian send-off duel? I'd honestly like to see Rovian kick Yuna's simp ass back to the gutter. She should have never crawled out of. Don't talk about the best girl in Yu-Gi-Oh! Like that, Rovian. I mean, Space Poem Fan. Come on.
Yeah, I love Rovian. Let me get that.
Rovian
out of
has grown on
Rovian has grown on me as well. I will say
it's one of my favorites. But
girls, yeah, probably.
But Yuna's the best girl. Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I do think Rovian probably deserves a send-off duel.
Yes.
I don't know what opponent it should be. I'm trying to think of, like, Romans, like, maybe, I don't know, London's just not up to snuff. I'm only thinking he's not.
It would be a joke.
It would be a joke. But there is some London backstory is between them. I mean,
there
maybe
is,
they could.
There is, but...
Because the problem is, like, yes, Yuna's the obvious choice,
Thank
but she's not beating Yuna.
For
she's
the
just not.
No.
They've dueled already. Yuna's beat her. Yuna's passed her.
I mean, that's assuming that her send-off duel is a win.
True. Right. Right. Zion's was not. Yeah. True. So I actually like that idea.
Yeah.
So she loses to Yuna.
Yeah, that could, yeah.
I like that idea.
Okay.
It's a good one. Yeah. By the way, Asaka with her win, her fourth 1v1 win of the series, now a top 10 winningest girl character.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I will say that I'm thinking about, wasn't Yuna's and Rovian's last matchup a win in Yuna's?
Yes, it was. Yuna beat her.
I feel like it shouldn't be that as a send-off then. Because one, she's not... Rovian's not going to beat...
Agreed. No, there is a reality where Rovian can duel... Yuna and Beater. I mean, there is.
Yeah, but like, if, are we just going to do a repeat? It's like, oh, the same kind of send-off that we got between them at the end of that tournament.
Well, let me tell you something. 131 is Manabu versus Zuijo. I don't know if you saw the preview.
I did, and it's
I feel like Manabu has a real shot in that because they've already dueled and Zuijo already beat him.
Yeah.
I feel like Manabu's got a real shot in that duel.
But he's not Rovian.
Correct. Yes.
And he has, and there's some other things at play in this episode, as we've seen in the preview.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's got to beat Yuna, ultimately.
Yeah.
I think the perfect character, it's not Rovian, I think the perfect character for that is Udius. You want to talk about someone who has not gotten their rematch from over 100 episodes ago. I think Udius versus Yuna is a money pick, and I would love to see Udius finally get the win against Yuna.
Completely agree.
So that would be my pick to... To have somebody kind of knock Yuna down a peg here.
It's got
to
be you, dude.
Yeah, 100%. Pink Penguin, thank you for the $2 donation. Dylan, your singing of Nick T's song is about as good as the Battle Beast arc.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Thank you.
That's not nice.
Thank you. And meanwhile, the three men to my left have not seen the Battle Beast arc, but they know what you're saying.
And I know your because I know your hatred for it.
I've done a dedicated video on it.
You're pretty well documented about how you're not.
I think it's
like it.
By the way, I think it's the worst mini arc in the franchise, Nick T.
Wow.
Wow. It's how many episodes are in that arc?
About five.
It's that five episodes is that bad?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I can't. I'll watch it. I'll find it.
It
eventually.
Just is.
I'll get there eventually.
It
just
know.
Is.
All right, yeah, one more. Do that one.
Kevin, thank you for the $5 super chat. This is one that we actually all could answer.
Yes, we can.
Who do y'all think would win in a duel between Asana Matsuba and Manabu Sogetsu? Manabu versus Asana. Wow, that is tough.
That's actually probably the closest one, I think.
Manabu
versus Asana.
Asana from Sevens.
Asana Sevens, Manabu Go Rush.
Asana.
You know, I got to be honest. If Manabu beats Zuijo next week,
okay, that,
but yeah. I don't know. That's why, like, I don't know.
Up until that
I'm
point,
gonna
though,
say,
I think Asana.
I'm going to say Manabu. It's close, though. They both have maximums.
This is one of those hypotheticals. It's the first one Kevin's given where it's actually, like, for me, it's dependent on what happens
next week
in the future episodes. Yeah. And that's a big reason. So top 50 strongest duelists in the franchise is going to be out Saturday. Very excited for that video. Top 50. It's a long one.
How long is that video? I'm excited.
I haven't recorded it yet. I've only finished
so
the scripting.
Excited.
But I anticipate it will be about an hour.
It's freaking
cool. And, like, I'm not including Go Rush characters. And some people have asked me, why don't you just include Go Rush characters?
Can until
they're going to change.
There's
right?
More
like,
duels.
Like, if Manabu beats Zuijo, my power rankings, even within Go Rush itself, have
move.
Completely changed.
Yeah, that would throw everything
completely
off.
Changed. Because now I think Zuijo would then have lost back-to-back duels.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, things would certainly be very, very different. So, right now, not knowing what happens between Manabu and Zuijo, even though I think Manabu has a good chance to win that duel, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick Asana. If Manabu beats Zuijo, I think I'd pick Manabu. Pete, who would you take in that one?
That's a tough one. I'd probably take Manabu.
Manabu.
I think he'd be alone on this.
I think for all the...
No, he took Asana. Still took it. Dylan.
Dependent on next week.
Yeah. I think for all the crap I give him and... Warranted.
His character.
He's an excellent duel.
Oh, yeah, he's good duel. His character.
Hey, we've made the joke that like there's a growing pro
Manabu movement in America.
Is there a pro Manabu movement
in America?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he has overcome pretty impossible odds of going from being one of the least likable characters, where he's like just messing up at every turn.
Yep. It all started with that Zuijo episode.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like this could be his final episode.
According to Colin, Zuijo won his last duel against Yuhi. He did not lose. I don't know.
Colin's correct. Oh. I know I said Zuijo would lose back-to-back. Yeah, Colin's correct.
It still would affect him.
Yeah, Zuijo, if he loses
because he's
Manabu,
lost to Darkmeister.
Yeah, think about Zuijo's past.
And Udius.
Lost to Uemu. No, then he beat Udius because he had contact fusion.
Technically
he
did, yeah.
So think about Zuijo's last five duels, and what do you take from it? Lost to Uemu,
okay.
Win against Udius, win against Yuhi, lost to Manabu, if he loses to Manabu.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. How do you, like, the power... That's why the power scaling is very tough.
But
it's
already
tough,
at this point, he's lost to two of like the top, I would say, 5 or 10 most formidable duelists in the show. Or one. He's overcome, rather.
No, well, he's beaten Udius twice.
He's beaten Udius twice, beaten Yuhi.
Yes.
It's just
he beat Yuhi twice.
I think he beat Yuhi twice.
Yeah, and Yuhi, we all considered like he's one of the best in the show too.
Another character whose stock was my god.
I know, man. This is it's tough. If he loses to Manabu and then I have to immediately do like top 10 strongest Go Rush duelists. Luckily, I don't because it's a list I'm going to do when the show ends.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would sort the twins, Udius, Manabu,
really
Zuijo, Goha Yuna.
It's a mess.
Not great.
It's a mess.
And that's what I like about it.
No,
like,
I like it too.
The power rankings are kind of shot.
They're totally shot. And you feel like every single duelist has a legitimate chance to win every single duel. And I love that. Even Udius has had some bad losses.
Yeah.
Like nobody's safe from a bad loss in this show.
No.
Uemu and Yuhi losing to Dinwan Muda. What the hell was that about? You know, like, but I like that. You really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's true.
Not that one specifically.
Keeps it very unpredictable.
What's Manabu's record in this?
It's a really good question.
Asana's is 4-2.
Okay. Asana's 4-2. What is Manabu?
Well, you guys can look it up if you don't mind. I'll read Andrew's donation.
I don't know how to look it. What would I look up? Manabu.
I got it.
Pete knows.
Pete's on this.
Yeah, he got the Asaga record. Angie, thank you for the $25 donation. Thank you so much, Angie. Thank you, Angie. I really appreciate that. Has there been a Mama and Papa Deep Rot cover of Magic 8-Ball? Feel like the singers of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything theme would make a pretty sick cover if you ask me. There is not, but they're aware of your music. They enjoy your music.
If they did a cover, I would honored. Send your parents everything they need to do a cover.
I mean, my mom's going to be watching this back. She always does. I'm sure they'll do it.
Dude, you're going to get a clip tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah,
tab it all out. It's a simple loop on guitar, like... Oh my God, that would make
that'd
my life.
Fun.
I could die
that'd
happy.
Be cool.
Oh, the next time
that'd
I
be really
my
cool.
Mom, I'll bring it up. Yeah, I'm sure they'd love to do that. For those that don't know, my parents are both musicians. My mom they're both very good singers. My dad's better on the guitar, but they're both good,
very talented
musicians.
And happened to you?
It skips a
gene.
He's
a great guitar hero.
I'm great at guitar hero.
That is
true.
He's
can sing
good.
Better than he.
Yeah,
leads on.
I guess that's fair. Wow, you like a lot of credit there.
I'm a singer, man. I'm a singer.
See? All right. Yeah, you got it, dude.
Thank you, Nick T. Pete is currently calculating the Monobu record. I would guess he has 5 wins.
Oh, somewhere around
I
there.
I would guess he's like 5-3, maybe 6-3.
He's had that many duels? 9 duels?
Yeah, he's dueled a lot. He was one of the first duels in the show.
He's counting. Give him a second.
If this is correct, he's not counting the most current duel. Which I'm blocking out on
good.
The screen. He's 7-7.
Holy, he's dueled 14
right?
times.
Let me count that again.
Oh, he's dueled 14
that's crazy.
Times.
I mean, you think about it, there's 130 episodes. Arguably, you have over 100 duels, right? You have to argue there's over 100, right?
Yeah.
Because there's very few two-parters.
No, there are. I mean, he's dueled, I guess, in like
he's
every...
7-6.
Okay. 7-6.
7-6.
I guess with 6-3. There were a lot of
you were off,
losses close. That I missed. Win-wise, I was close.
You lost to Udius, beat Bochy, beat Ron-Ron, lost in the Anastar, beat Rovian. That's right. He beat Yuna. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Lost his
Maximo.
Beat, his ancestor in the Fish Dune.
We count that.
Yeah, it's still, it's
count.
Still
you have to count that.
Episode.
I know.
He lost to Yumu. He lost to Yuna. In the rematch.
Okay, so they're 1-1.
And then he beat Epoch, he beat Fukumara, and then he lost to Phaser, technically.
Right.
So he beats the cupcakes and he loses to the good ones. I mean, other than one win he has against
But that's why the narrative changes if he beats Suijo here.
I agree.
And for the record, there are listed off-screen duels that do assign credit. Did not count those.
Yeah, no, good call there. Yeah, I never count duels
even
that were
if
not
they
fully
say, hey,
shown.
They beat this person off-screen,
no.
Don't, I don't
no.
count
no. it. Yeah, no, I, yeah, and that's the way I do it, too. I don't count those. Yeah, so interesting. Monobu 7 wins.
So does he get to 8 or does he go 500 for the show?
I mean, if we need to go around unofficial prediction, I think he's going to win. I think with these types of rematches, in fact, we saw it with Monobu and Yuna.
He beat her the first time, lost her the
second
time.
Yeah, I think...
So it could go the opposite way.
I think he's going to beat Suijo.
I think it's a good shot.
Yeah.
I think he has a better shot than some people might give him credit for.
He's a really talented duelist.
He is.
I could see it happening.
He is, yeah.
And we kind of, I don't know, it just kind of feels like we need some momentum.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that would provide
against
a lot of momentum to our team.
The core people are like in Goha. Like whether that's Otis or Suijo or Yumu or Yuna. Like, you got to beat one of the four.
Yeah. No, I'm in full agreement, and I think Zuijo's the most vulnerable. I do, because Yuna's kind of the head honcho. She's got her own plan.
He's the least to lose.
Yeah,
I mean, he was
right. Well, that too.
He was already dead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. If
he doesn't even want to be here.
That.
He's like, why did they even bring me back?
Why is blood still hanging around?
The party ended hours ago. What is he still doing here? That guy.
Puts blood waffling. Man. Oh, man. No, I think it's a great point. I do think Suijo would make the most sense of the group to lose right now, given where all the characters are. It's very interesting. Angie, thank you again for that very, very generous donation.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if there's anything. You know what? Very quickly, because we're going to wrap up probably soonish.
Yeah.
I do, because we're not going to read any of the summaries. I do want to ask very quickly, now that we are officially within a month away, mm-hmm. Road to Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 video came up, and that video, I think, was very, very fitting to the discussion I want to have real quick with you guys,
yeah.
where I asked people in the community on Twitter, hey, what do you think's going to happen? And a bunch of people answered. I gave my thoughts on some of them. I would love to know, starting, we'll start with you, Nick T. With 30 days left right now, mm-hmm. what do you want to see announced at Jump Festa? Not what do you think will happen. What do you want to see most right now, 30 days out?
Bare minimum. The one thing that like I think is the most important out of anything I could want right there is Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 that is in the universe of this Rush Duels, but is not a direct continuation, prequel, interquel. It just exists in there.
Yeah.
I think this story needs to wrap up, and I want to see more of this world that isn't completely revolved around Otis, Yuga. You know, I think there's more story to tell in this world that isn't completely revolved around them.
Now, I do have to press you a little bit. Yu-Gi-Oh! 9's happening. Do you want to see Udius potentially show up?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing characters and okay. like the worlds intertwining.
Yes,
but I don't want the core story to be more of the same.
Okay,
that's what I don't.
That's
want.
Fair. I'm in agreement with that. I don't want the story. Well, I do want it to be in a pre-existing Yu-Gi-Oh world.
Yeah,
and by the way, I wouldn't care if that's Vrains or Arc well, 5. Yeah. I wouldn't
oh,
care.
Yeah.
I think just Sevens and Go Rush is way more likely. Like 99%.
Rush Yu-Gi-Oh! Is what it's going to be. And
yes.
And that's what I want. I want more. I want to see what more we can do with it.
And with aliens, you have potentially like timeless creatures.
Well, that's also the thing about it is that in present day Rush World, there aren't. Or as far as we are aware, there aren't aliens. I would, one, like to know why, or B, if the timeline gets changed somehow, like to see then the existence of aliens in present-day Rush World.
Yeah, fair. Pete, right now, what would you like to see most announced in 29 days?
Anything.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
I guess two things, I guess, mm-hmm. if I could cheat.
You can.
Yeah,
from a technical aspect, the simulcast. I mean, that's just.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes.
yeah.
Just makes
yeah.
life easier yeah. Yeah. for everyone, including the Anthemae subs team. Yep. From a story perspective, I mean, very simple. I just want to see villains.
Yeah.
I just think Rush, I've liked a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really poor in its antagonists and its villains. And, yeah, I want to see someone where I'm like, oh, like, they captivate the screen.
Yeah.
And I only get that feeling with Zuijo, and I don't consider him a villain at all.
But what about Quaidul yeah. for the short period? Because I felt that way about Quaidul.
I think he's great.
Yeah.
He captivates, but I don't know. I just don't see him as, like, this
well, it was only for
super
two arcs.
Ultra villain as yeah. well. Like, there's just some pieces of him that don't scream villain to me.
Interesting.
You know,
yeah.
like there's, I think there's some good parts in there.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So,
yeah.
And I just want, agree. Yeah, I want someone that's more like, I don't know, like they are really selfish for
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're terrifying.
Yeah, like a Marek type
yeah.
character.
I don't even need that. Like, even like
Windy Lightning was very good.
Exactly. Or any
even
any
Bowman
people.
Arguably was.
Yeah, I would
good.
Argue Zuijo's more anti-hero than actual
yeah.
villain.
I'll,
in
I'll,
any
yeah.
way.
I'll
yeah.
take a Pegasus at this point.
Oh,
yeah.
he was
yeah. something.
He's a top
something
tier.
Something along
yeah.
that line of like, okay, like I really fear this person, and like it's really hard to beat this person.
Yeah.
And these days, it's like the antagonist is like it's a, kind of the same formula. Right?
It is, it's
like,
very similar.
We lose them the first time. Yeah, we beat them the second time.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's you know how it's gonna go. Mm-hmm. I want to see a little bit more unpredictability.
Yeah, I think the issue, the biggest problem that these two shows have had with their villains is they've just put so much time and energy and stock into the Otis stuff. And, yeah.
Which,
you know,
at the moment, I agree with Dredd and stuff, it's not good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
yeah.
I'm not being mean. Like,
no,
it's not good.
Yeah.
And if that's where as a guy that likes villains a lot, and I think they drive a story, it makes your heroes. If he's it, it's a really poor story device. Like,
yeah.
It's just bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it seems like the Yuhi version of him is going to be it, but I just feel like Yuhi is not going to end up being Otis by the end of the show.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's going to be Yuga, but yeah. So so for Pete, simulcast and the villains. Dredge, that's what about you?
Simulcast.
What do I want to announce at Jump Festa 2020? Technically, with 2024, right? Or 2025?
It's 2025.
2025. What do I want? I want the Cullen Game arc announced. Date, start date. I'm looking forward to that. And also when Fire Force start date returning. But Yu-Gi-Oh! Related. what I want, and I've said this, I've jumped aboard your train. After going to see the first Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie in a theater, I would love to be able to go to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie in the theaters. I think that it was an experience, but you know, and it's different. There was everyone in there was a, you know, quote unquote Yu-Gi-Oh! Like stan, or you just love Yu-Gi-Oh! That's why you were there, right?
Correct.
But to be in that theater and watch these characters, that you know, you see Yugi, and I think it would have that same effect with a Yuga, or as much as I don't like Yuma, like these other characters, I think seeing them in the big screen, giving them this big moment, it's a cool feeling, you know, being in that theater watching a Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie. So I would love a Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie. I don't know how likely it is. Dylan will probably convince you it is likely, but Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie. The other thing, and Pete said it, and it's pretty simple, simulcast. Konami is such a big company. If you want to get more people involved, simulcast it to the West. It's that there's millions of fans of Yu-Gi-Oh! On this side of the world, and they're technically missing out on Yu-Gi-Oh! Unless a team has to sub this episode and do all this work. So Konami needs to step up, have a simulcast. They had it for Vrains, right? The last one.
Correct. The only one.
The only one they had for, yeah, it's, you know. They need to step it up.
I've talked to a high-ranking member on the Entame subs team not too long ago, and they came up to me and they said, do you want to know what I want to see the most at Jump Festa?
What'd they say?
And I said, what? And they said, simulcast.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
Yeah.
The nobody wants a simulcast more than the subbing team.
Of course.
It's such a hard job.
I mean,
right now, yeah. It's a labor of love, and it's difficult for them to stay on task and get everything they need done on top of their personal lives.
Yeah.
As well as, like, in terms of access for the show.
Yeah.
Even if the Entame subs team or any fan subs team could do it regularly, the access just isn't there.
It's not. People just don't want to go through the Tumblr downloading.
Exactly. Even if they made it so easy,
yeah,
it not being officially hosted limits access.
We need a simulcast.
This is the number you need to hear, right? Konami Holdings Corporation revenue for the 2024 fiscal year. Revenue, 360, not million, not 100,000, billion yen. 360 billion yen.
Yen is going to.
It's still 360 billion, even if it is
in the millions.
It's in the millions.
Type in Konami's net worth.
No, I've got. Oh, you mean that, like, hopeful?
Company net worth, yeah.
Let's see.
I mean, I know the answer to this because I looked it up. They're can say it.
10.1 billion.
And that's
right?
Dollars.
That's as of yesterday. Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's so accurate.
Yes, it's actually. Oh, God. Konami broke $10 billion.
Ooh,
wow.
Oh, wait. Its market cap's increased by 66% in the last year.
No, Konami's done very well.
That's actually
66%?
Insane.
That's insane.
This is a multi-billion dollar company. Please make it accessible.
You know what's insane for a year? You know what insane that is?
Yes,
in
I know.
In one year, it increased by 66%.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
If you wanted to know the translation, it's about roughly a little over 2.3 billion USD.
So only made 2.3 billion. My bad. I'm sorry.
Still
they
more
made
than
$2.3 billion. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
So this year, they made $2 billion. Please give us a simulcast. Please.
We need
a simulcast, by the way, is not going to get announced at Jump Festa. And even though it doesn't mean we might not get one. Mm-hmm. The Vrain simulcast was announced like 4 or 5 episodes into the series.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
I don't remember
I vividly remember it.
How did we watch it prior to that?
The same way. There was the team that subbed Arc 5 would sub Vrains.
Wow.
And then when they announced the simulcast,
that was it.
That was it for them, yeah.
I'm surprised that the simulcast starts like once the show has started already.
So some are probably announced beforehand. That one was probably just a late decision that they made.
Yeah. Kind of a snap. Yeah.
Yeah, we just got to pray it happens. For me, Yes, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links movie would be wonderful. I would also like to see a show, again, that exists in a pre-existing world. Sevens and Go Rush are the two most likely. If it was Vrains or Arc 5 or Zexal or 5Ds or GXDM, that would also be incredible. Just because I want to see like those worlds get expanded on. I think there's a lot more stories you can tell within all of those worlds. And I would like to see a series that features both styles of dueling, Rush and Master.
Yep.
Those are my top preferences right now. Yep. Yeah.
We got five more Australian from Electric Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Who do y'all think would win in a duel between, and this is going to be a you question because me and Pete really can't answer anything.
Yeah,
no,
I definitely can't answer.
Astral versus I. I think I would, I mean, I don't know how, I don't, like I would say I, but I don't know. Astral versus I.
Wow. He's had three really good ones.
Good ones today, right?
Sometimes Kevin asks and I'm like, oh, I feel pretty good. But all three of these I've had to think.
I don't know enough about Astral.
I mean, I's deck I think is better, but again, I'm trying to think about it from a character perspective.
I don't know Astral's background, so it's hard to be like I is supposed to be this Ignis, this almost like near perfect creature, right? Versus
throw playmaker to his limits, but Astral's a very, very good duelist as well.
I mean, you could tell it's the only reason Yuma survives.
And you
so
see
far.
Him
crazy.
Duel, but I think, oh god, that is so tough. I'm leaning Astral, but I am leaning Astral,
for us to
but
see
I'd really need to dive a little deeper into
maybe
that.
That's something that we that at some point Legendary Duels could do. We could have like these almost like we haven't done all the villains yet, right? We haven't done like I guess Astral's not a villain, right? Maybe the partner duels.
Yeah,
there's enough, right?
Astral,
there's a few. Is there eight of them?
I guess Yami Yugi technically.
Yes,
would
Yami
be
Yugi
one.
Be one. Yeah,
Utel would count as one.
You could do all the U boys. You get all the U boys. Technically,
you could
right?
do all the U boys.
That
yeah.
would make eight.
Yeah,
that's a cool idea. Maybe
yeah, that is.
Point,
that, I like that
point.
Idea. I'm gonna mention that. Too.
Yeah, to go at all the partners. The partners. Yeah, like something like that. Be cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna mention that to him. Cool, cool. Good question. Listen. Episode on the shorter side, but that's all right, man. We I think had a lot of good discussions. Also no Calibro, and then
that's right,
we also are not going over summaries or making like official
don't get
picks
any spoilers or anything.
Just because we're in that weird territory right now, so the episodes are going to be shorter for that reason. Hopefully we're caught up soon, but you know, we're gonna rock and roll however the episodes get released.
Woo-hoo.
I want to thank everybody for coming. These three, Dredge, Nick T, and Pete, are all great. Huge thank you to them. All their stuff is linked down below. Dredger does some great streaming. Nick T does some great music. Pete does some great content on YouTube and is streaming, I believe, for me tomorrow as well on Twitch. I'm going to let them all promote their stuff. We'll start with Dredge. Please give them a follow. And thank you guys so much for watching.
Dredge, stream at twitch.tv/DredgeNator. Streaming the Pokemon. We're going to go at you the Pokemon Black. I think I wrote that in the Pokemon
tomorrow?
Black. Yeah, it's tomorrow around 6-ish, right before the Life is Strange stream, Life is Strange Double Exposure, which I think, Pete, you're doing chapter 4 or 3?
4 and 5.
4 and 5, I apologize. Yeah. 4 and 5 tomorrow, so that'll be mine. I'll be before him. I'll probably go into Pete's a little bit, and then I'll be raiding Pete so we can kind of finish up with that stream. So, yep. Nick T.
Wow. So I did already a little bit of self-promotion thanks to Fwee Weep's great question. But I will reiterate. So I make music under the name Nameling. That is on all music streaming platforms, whether it's YouTube, Tidal, Apple Music, Spotify, however you consume music. I have music there, and I will have more music there in the near future. A full-length album that is finished. I've been sitting on for a long time and just working out some artistic details before the release, where in the new year, early next year, you'll see a digital release, a small, limited vinyl release, a cassette release, shirts, and stickers. So be on the lookout for all that good stuff. I have been inactive on social media on that for, I think, over a year at this point. So be on the lookout for new social media posts at NamelingNJ on Instagram, preferably. But and if you are any kind of musician, producer, DJ, whatever it may be, and you're interested in doing a Nameling remix of any kind, reach out to me at namelingnj@gmail.com. I have the stems and the capabilities to send them to you so we can collaborate. I'm really interested in doing something like that right now. So
nice.
Reach out to me.
Very cool.
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel, Clueless Gamers, right now, NFL football podcast called First 10. I do it with my friend Brian. Last week was kind of a solo venture just because Brian and I's schedules didn't kind of match up. That could be the case again this week. So if you just like listening to me talk for 40 minutes unedited, there you go.
I could.
So yeah, that'll probably be out Sunday morning.
Nice.
Is what I'm kind of aiming for here. Yeah, I'll also be on Twitch tomorrow, Super Deep Rod, Dylan's channel, yep, playing Life is Strange Double Exposure, Chapters 4 and 5, special start time, 7 EST
nice
tomorrow, just so we can make sure we fit in both those chapters, because they're supposed to
How long are those chapters?
Like an hour and a half each.
Ooh, I yeah, heard. 7 to 10, it's a long one. Yeah.
So that should be good. I'm very excited. Very excited. Another amazing cliffhanger last week, and yeah, if you want to get in before the we're off next week for Thanksgiving,
yeah, come
yeah over there. And,
it's a light stream week for you, I just realized that.
21.
Yeah, very, very excited.
You come back Saturday?
Yes.
Are you doing a stream Saturday?
No.
Okay. Sunday?
I don't know. I haven't.
I'm sorry I put it in the spot.
No,
I thought you had said you were going to do some like marathon thing. That's why I was like wondering.
I used to do the Black Friday.
Black Friday, I know you did,
streams,
yeah.
But that changed
can't,
when
obviously.
I, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
now
yeah
I go there for Thanksgiving.
Gotcha, that's fair. Fair, fair.
What?
Nothing.
No, you said something.
I did not say
what
it.
No, what
hey,
did you say? I'm saying it again.
Hey,
I feel like due to some past events, the Black Friday.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that I'm going to be in Texas.
Hey, I was.
We're not. Anyway, the next marathon stream will be Donkey Kong 64. No, I'm kidding. All right.
I can't do those push-ups again, man. I can't do the push-ups again. I was in so much pain.
You and Pete really got
I was in so much. That was rough.
To everybody who came by, thank you so much. To everybody that donated and super chatted, thank you so much. Cannot tell you how much you help out the channel and help me out. We're going to be live tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Master Duel, climbing up the XC's festival.
Nice.
Yeah, video out tomorrow as well. Episode 7 of their reaction, Pete and Dredgers 2, Yu-Gi-Oh's XL.
I may even watch that.
You should. Thank you all so much for watching, and I hope you have
an amazing day.
Take care,
everyone. Be well.